Everyone good? Everyone all right? Oh yeah, one person. Woohoo! Everyone okay? Everyone had a good week? Not a good week? Terrible week? Okay week? All the above week? Whatever your week's been, let me tell you, you made it here today. You should congratulate yourself. So why don't you congratulate yourself that you made it here today, eh? Look. I know we can get like caught up in the religious act and go, oh, it's all about Jesus. And yes, it is all about Jesus. But at the same time, you have to congratulate yourself as well for making it here. You have to get out of bed, get dressed, hopefully wash your face and brush your teeth to come into the house of God to fellowship with one another. And I just pray that as worship came and that as I'm going to speak now, I pray that Holy Spirit speak to you. That you look past me and you just grab what Holy Spirit wants for you this morning. And so, Father, we just thank you for your word. I pray that you speak to us. Even in the simplicity, I pray you speak to us. That, Lord God, that we'll walk out these doors changed from the inside out. It's not about an outward change, but an inward change. And so, Holy Spirit, I ask for a transformation from the inside out. That you speak to us, that our ears be open, that our stubbornness be put aside, so that we can hear your voice. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Cool. I'm excited today. It's the first Sunday of March. And a few weeks ago, I texted Pastor Darren, because we've got a chat between my wife and Pastor Darren. I was like, bro, we've got a series coming up. He's like, yeah, sweet. And so the series that we've named for the next couple months, it's called Unlikely People. Can you say that? Unlikely People. The reason why we named it Unlikely People, because we are unlikely people. Are you guys right? If you look at me, if you look at me right here, you know, I'm like the unlikely candidate to take over a church. But God chose me. God chose my wife. A lot of times that when we look at ourselves, we don't realize how often we actually think we're the unlikely candidate for specific things in life. And so we thought to really go over the Old Testament this month of unlikely people that you're probably like, oh no, they're amazing, blah, blah. But they're really unlikely. The unlikely ones and how God chooses the unlikely ones. Are you with me? Because the one thing I realized over my life, I love it how God can use anybody to do his will. You know the children that making the big noise, the annoying ones, you know, those children, those type of children, they were being annoying this morning. But you know, the children, even though they may be so annoying, but you know what? God has something amazing for them. When my son's being annoying, I can get real hoo-ha with him. But at the end of the day, I've got to realize God has a call for his life. I might not see it yet, but God has a call for them. And you may not see it over your life, but God has a call for you. I love how God doesn't use the perfect. Are you with me? God doesn't use the perfect. God doesn't use the most theological people. Are you with me? God doesn't look the part people to do his will, but he just chooses anybody who is willing and able. The unlikely ones. And so over this month, we're going to unpack specific people. And I thought, why not start with the fathers of the faith? Why not start with one of them? And so I want to talk about Abram, but in a way that you probably haven't heard before. And if you haven't heard it before, grab hold of it. And if you have heard it before, ask God to give you fresh revelation. Are you right? And so we're going to start in Genesis 11. I think I've got it up here. Genesis 11, chapter 11, verses 27 to 32. And this is the account of Terah's family. Terah was the father of Abram, Nahor, and Haran. And Haran was the father of Lot. But Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeans, the land of his birth, while his father Terah was still living. Meanwhile, Abram and Nahor both married. The name of Abram's wife was Sarai, and the name of Nahor's wife was Milcah. But Sarai was unable to become pregnant and had no children. One day, I need you guys to listen to this verse. One day, Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, and his grandson Lot, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan, but they stopped at Haran and settled there. Are we okay? Following me? Yes, Jordan. Okay, cool. Got to speak to me. And Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. The thing with Genesis 11, in the previous verses, it actually goes through the family tree of Abram. And you realize that Abram is the descendant of Shem. Shem is the son of Noah. Are you following me? Yeah, yeah. So before, I was thinking, how do we package this as unlikely people? Before Abram became Abraham, who was he? Everybody knows Father Abraham and many sons. You know, people know all the story of like the afterwards part of Abraham. But who was Abraham before Abraham? If we read the previous verses before Genesis 11, we're not going to go through it because it's long. But we see that he comes from a strong lineage. Because he's the 10th generation from Noah. You know Noah's Ark? Yeah, the flood. But within the story, what I've just read, I see a father not doing what he's supposed to do. I need you to like just follow me for this. It will make sense in a minute. Because within Scripture, we see Terah, Abram's father, choosing to leave Ur of the Chaldeans, but it wasn't leaving Ur of the Chaldeans which was the problem for me. It's what happened afterwards. Can we go to verse 32? I mean 31. One day, Terah took his son Abram, his daughter-in-law Sarai, and his grandson Lot, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. I didn't see a problem with that. That's cool. Okay, the father chose to leave a place to go to another place. And then it goes on to say, he was headed for the land of Canaan. But they stopped Haran and settled. Abram was headed to the land of Canaan with his father, but the father chose to stop and settle. Abram's father was on the way to land of Canaan, but stopped and settled. And I was going through a lot of background stories. I was going through some, what do you call those theological people in the Bible? I was just going through a lot of theology stuff. And no one could actually come to any assumption on why Terah stopped in Haran. No one, it just says in the Bible, he stopped and then he settled there. And I came to think, what if Abram used this as an excuse not to follow God and settle as his father did? Because it says in the Word of God that they were going to the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan was the promised land of the Israelites. But on the way on his journey, something happened that made him stop and made him settle in a place where God didn't call him to be. And it made me think, what if Abram chose to settle like his father and never actually go to the next point or where God called him to go? And it made me think, for us as people, how many of us are journeying through a place where God's like, go that way and go meet me, let's say, to that tree over there, but we chose to stop and settle here because it got too hard? What if Abram, what he faced with his father, chose to stop and go, I'm just going to settle here. I'm not going to go on. What if Abram continued the cycle with his father and never ever actually entered the promised land? Because we know chapters after, we know that God promises him the land of Canaan. In chapter 17, we know that the land of Canaan is what God said. You're going to have descendants on descendants, people over people, from the promised land. But what if he chose to be like his father and settle in Haran? And it made me think. I know people within the church and outside the church that use the excuse of their parents, their upbringing, or where they lived on why they turned out the way they turned out. Because everyone knows the story of Abram and knows the outcome because we've got the Bible. But imagine if we didn't have the Bible and knew the outcome. Are you following me? I know people within the church, and I'm not talking about this church. This church is amazing. I'm talking about other churches, you know, but there's people in the church, people who've been saved, and they're like still using the excuse, oh, it's the way we've been brought up. My family's always been this way. I'm always going to do this because it's part of the cycle. But imagine if Abram did the same thing and said, oh, I'm just going to stay in Iran because my father stayed here. And never actually went for the call that God called him to. Because in Genesis 12, it opens up and says, Abram, follow me. I want to take you out of the place that you are and take you to the promised land, but you have to follow me. But imagine if he didn't listen to God and said, nah, I'm going to stay with the cycle. How many of us in this room have stayed with the cycle and settled where God hasn't called us to be? We use excuses as the reason why we can't succeed in life. Oh, my parents were brought up in a gang, whatever the reason may be. It's true. It's fact. You may have been brought up again, but it's not who you are for the rest of your life. There's always another way. And imagine if Abram had the same mentality like us, or many of us have today. Oh, but I've been brought up this way. Oh, my family's always lived here. Oh, this is always the cycle. Imagine if Abram said, nah, I'm not going to follow you, God. I'm going to continue the cycle of my family. How many of us in this room have settled for less than what God has called us to? Because we know the outcome. Like, it's hard to speak to Christians who know the story because we all know the outcome. But imagine if we didn't know the outcome and we looked at Abram at the lens of someone just walking into the church. Because we already got this preconceived about Abram. Oh, Abram's amazing. But Abram wasn't amazing. Just like many of us in this room or listening online, when people listen online, maybe the generation before you didn't set you up well. Am I talking to anyone here? Maybe the generation before you, your parents or your grandparents didn't set you up well. Maybe they chose to settle like Terah did and settled in Haran. But he was on his way to the land of Canaan, but he chose to settle. We don't know why. All we can do is make assumptions like he must have been tired or he couldn't be bothered. But it just says that he lived to 205 years old and stayed there. Maybe you weren't set up well. Maybe your past seems too horrific. Anyone in here? Is it just me? Okay, yep. Okay, just me. Maybe your past seems too horrific. Maybe your past sins feel too massive. Who feels like that sometimes? Your past sins or the sins you may be committing seems too massive. Is it just me? Okay, it's just me. Okay, yep. But I realize, can I encourage you that with this? If God can use Abram, he can use you. We know the end story of Abraham, but I'm talking about before Abraham became Abraham. The hard part for many of us is that we can see God move with the unlikely people within the Word of God, but you can't see God move through you. Are we all right? Lee, when you see somebody, let's say you see Pastor Darren. You can see, like, Pastor Darren, oh, yeah, God can use you. Can you see that? Yeah. Can you see God can use him? The same thing that you have for him, can you see it for yourself? No, I'm not picking on you, but I'm just being honest. Like, we can see the unlikely people in the Word of God and go, oh, Abram was amazing, Noah was amazing, you know, Jonah was amazing. All these people were amazing, but they weren't amazing when they started. And it's so easy for Christians to go, oh, yeah, man, God's called you. And then when someone says it to you, like, yeah, no, I'm not that person. But the thing is, God uses the unlikely people to do his work. Abram was the unlikely one. Are you guys all right? See, with the story of Abram, I want to give you guys a quick download of what the story is from Abram to Abraham, so you know the whole story. So Abram was 75 years old when God called him. If anyone's 75 and younger, you have heaps of time. Okay, that's in Genesis 12, if you're writing notes. Abram was raised by parents who were idol worshippers. Hello? His parents were idol worshippers. You see that in Joshua 24:2. It talks about, real quickly, briefly, about Abram's parents being brought up in idol worship. Abram slept with his maid Hagar, which wasn't the promised son God told him, which is in Genesis 16. I'm not bringing up all this scripture today, okay? There's a lot. God changed Abram's name to Abraham. Abram means exalted father, while Abraham means the father of the multitude. This is Abram. Abraham lied to two kings about Sarah being his sister rather than his wife, Genesis 20. Follow me? Abraham was tested to sacrifice his son, and he had faith God will come through, and God did, and that's in Genesis 22. So if you just read from Genesis chapter 11 to Genesis chapter 22, you see a great picture of Abraham. He's like, oh, he's amazing. But when God chose him, he wasn't that amazing. He was an idol worshiper. He worshipped the moon god and sun god. Back in those days, the way they would please gods is that they'll cut themselves. You right? And the way that God transformed them from cutting himself, he brought circumcision. One cut rather than many cuts. But he was a sun and moon worshiper. But God chose a sun and a moon worshiper to be the father of all nations. You guys are right. Even though Abram chose to leave his home to follow God in Genesis 12, God chose a man that wasn't perfect. This is what I want us to realize throughout the series in the next couple months, is that we're going to bring out people who you thought were perfect, who were not perfect at all. Because at the point of God calling them, they were full of sin and in sin. He was an idol worshiper. But for some reason, in his idol worship, God says, hey, Abram, can you follow me? Can I take you out of this native country? And can you just follow me? He didn't know where he was going, but he just heard and he followed. But in his sin, God caught him. And we look at ourselves and like, oh, no, I'm too sinful, man. My background is whack. I'm the generation of, continue on the generation curse in my life. Whatever it may be, you know what? You can put a stop to it today. Abram didn't have his ducks in a row before following the call. Abram didn't have a chance to go to an altar on a Sunday service to get the call. Are you all right? He didn't have to come to a Sunday service, come up over here, get prayed for, so that he could go for the call in his life. All he had to do was have faith, believe, and follow. For some reason, the Western world has put so much emphasis on coming to church and getting prayed for in the front, which is amazing. I love praying for people in the front, but this is not the be-all, end-all place. God can call you out when you're in sin to go, hey, can you follow me? That you don't have to be perfect, have everything together. Know from the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, to go follow the call of God of your life. Because through the journey, he teaches you Genesis to Revelation. Abram just had faith and follow. And so when we look at the story of Abram, we can see that Abraham's story, that he was the right person. Right? Everyone knows Abraham's story, what I just said, about 75 years old, God called him. He had a child at 105. 105? That's crazy. I'm just thinking about anyone over their hundreds having a baby. But, you know, like, he had a baby at 100, and 105. He did amazing stuff. He became the grandfather, the papa for multitudes, right? We know the end story of Abraham. But if we look at the part where God chose him to come over as idol worship and pagan living, could we say that he was the wrong guy? If we don't know the story at all of Abraham, at the beginning in his idol worship, worshiping the moon and father, moon god and the sun god, in that time where God called him, could we say that he was the wrong guy? We know he's the right guy because we know the story. But if we didn't know the story, he would be the unlikely person. And this is what we want to paint over the next 4 to 8 weeks, is how God uses the unlikely person to do his work. And this guy, Abram, who was the idol worshiper, who was just not the person for the job, he became the father of a multitude. That even God said, do you know the stars up there? Yeah, it's going to be more than that. You can't even count. He became that guy. You know the guy that people go, oh, the father of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You know that God? He became the guy that everybody talked about. But he was the unlikely person. Are we okay? And when I was thinking about him being the unlikely person, we could also think about ourselves as the unlikely person. Anyone in here feel like the unlikely person?
Sorry.
How many have said this? God, you got the wrong guy. I've said that many. God, you got the wrong girl. I'm not the right one. But isn't it funny that we seem to come to this conclusion only if God knew what we were like? Have you ever said that? I definitely have said that. Oh, God, you don't know who I am. Like, you don't know what I've done. Only if God knew what type of person I was. Has anyone said that? I've said that. Only if God knew the major mistakes I've made. But then at the same time, you know, when we say that, it's kind of like contradicting ourselves, because we're saying, God, only if you knew, but he is the creator of heaven and earth. We say that, like, I've said that many times, oh God, you got the wrong person, you don't know who you chose, like, God, like, nah, like, if you knew, like, I suck at studying. I don't like reading, God. Like, at the beginning of our ministry, even before I got married, I was like, God, I just don't like reading. You're like, your Bible's hard enough. You know, like, reading other things, am I the only person? Like, God, your Bible's hard enough. And at the time, I was like, God, wrong person. I'm definitely not a pastor. I'm not it. And we give all these excuses to God, but we forget God's God. Are we okay? We forget that God is the one who created you and I. We forget that God lives outside of time. We forget that the one who made us in existence spoke the universe into existence. The one who knows the number of hairs on our head. That God that we say, oh God, you don't know who we are, knows actually who we are. And that made me realize, even though Abram seems like the unlikely candidate, the person who worshipped the idol gods and moon god and sun god, even though he was in the space, God knew who he could become. And I want to encourage us this morning, if you feel like you're the unlikely person God can use, let me tell you, the future is great for you. If you think you're the unlikely person, let me tell you, God has a great plan for you. The moment you think, oh, I'm the bee's knees, I'm the man, God's going to humble you real quick. I've been there. Like, I thought I was the man when I was growing up in youth, man. Like, God was using me in places, but God humbled me real quick. And he humbled me publicly. Well, if you want to make an idiot out of yourself publicly, God will make sure he humbles you publicly. But the moment we think, oh God, unlike the unlikely person, is the best time where God uses you. We think that God doesn't know, but he knows. He knows exactly who we are and who we can become. God is always in the business and using the unlikely people to extend his kingdom. He is in the business of using unlikely people to extend his kingdom. Whenever you are with Christ, you need to decide whether you are going to settle or continue moving forward to the promised land. So we have two choices this morning. Like the story of Abram, his father was taking them out of Ur of the Chaldeans and taking them to a place called the promised land of Israelites, but he chose to stop right here. So he was supposed to go over there, but he chose to stop in Haran. The decision that many of us have to make is, are we going to stop in our Haran, or are we going to continue the journey? Because I think the story would be completely different if Abram's father actually went the whole way. I don't want to get into it too much, but just have a thought, just have a think. If he was supposed to go to the promised land where Abram was supposed to go, would the story be a bit different? Would Abram be Abram if Terah didn't do what he did? His father stopped in a place where he wasn't supposed to stop. He was supposed to go to the promised land. But he stopped, and so because he stopped, God's like, no one's listening to me. Abram, can you come follow me? Can you go to this place where I'm calling you to go? Imagine if the father didn't stop and keep going. Would the story be different in the Bible? This is the type of thing I think. I'm like, would it be different? Would it be different? I think it would be different. But at the end of the day, it happened. He stopped. So we need to ask ourselves, are we going to just settle in our Haran, or are we going to keep going forward to the journey where God's called us to be? Because I can tell you this right now, just looking at you right now, I truly believe we're not there yet. Anyone with me? We're not there yet. But I also see there are some of us who are settled. And we're like, oh, God, this is a good place. I'm growing here. This is a good place. Either you're going to settle with just okay, or you're going to settle with great. Even if you chose, like this is me being honest, even if you chose to settle in your Haran, God will still be with you. God will never leave you or forsake you, right? That's what the Bible says. And if you chose to settle in this place where you're in right now, God's not going to leave you. God's always going to be with you. But you are going to miss out on the God opportunities he has for you over there. There's some limits to this area because I chose to settle, but it doesn't take away the fact that God's not with me. God is with me. But on this side, in the land of the promise, there's actually more for you. And the question I want to ask us this morning, we're unlikely people. I'm an unlikely person. We are all unlikely people, but God wants to use us. But the question we need to ask ourselves, are we going to allow our Haran to make us settle, or are we going to go to the promised land where God called us? Because if we, each and every one of us, make a decision to not settle and go for the journey, watch your life change dramatically, like drastically. But there's a lot of us who are settling with our job. We're like, oh, I'm just going to settle here. I'm going to stay in this place. People settling in church. Oh, I'm just going to sit on the seat, come on Sunday. That's it. There's no one like that in here. I definitely know throughout my whole life growing up, I was okay by sitting in the seats. Even though when I was on a worship team, I was still kind of sitting in the seats mentally and spiritually. And there's some of us in here are settling. And I want to tell you, stop settling and actually go on the journey where God's called you to go. The question we want to ask ourselves, am I willing to take the journey? We don't know what the journey looks like. Abram in Genesis 12, and he didn't know where he was going. All God said, can you follow me? And he's like, sweet God, I'll follow you. He didn't know God's voice. He didn't know anything other than he was like, ah, is that God? I'm just going to follow it. He was that weird. Like, we think that he's this holy guy and amazing guy. He was. But at the start, he had no clue what God sounded like. But he just knew in his heart that this sounds like God. And then he just followed. He didn't know where he was going, but he knew it was going to be a better place than his place that he settled. I want to encourage us this morning. Can we get out of the place that's making us settle? Maybe it's a situation that you're in, that you're settling. You're just like, I'm just going to stay here. This is all life has for me. Can I encourage you this morning that God has actually more for you? Do you believe that for yourself, that God has more for you? You can't just believe it in here, but you have to believe it in here. And if you believe it in here, we're going to move from this place of settling and actually going for the journey. Because we see in Abram's story, this beautiful picture of a sovereign God using an unlikely person to do his work. And when I look at my life, I'm the unlikely person. You can look at your life and just go, I don't know why God calls me. But he does call you. Your sphere of influence, God called you there. When I see, like Michaela, I want to pick on you. When I see Michaela, she does an amazing job for Love Winery Mata, right? If you don't know Michaela, please go talk to Michaela afterwards. Michaela's at the back. She's part of Love Winery Mata, and they're doing amazing stuff in Winery. But God's called her there for a perfect time as this. Even though at the start she might have would have been, no, I'm not an unlikely candidate. But you could just see God's placed her there for a reason. If you look in your life, you might go, I'm the unlikely person in this role. I don't know why this company chose me, but let me tell you this. God chose you to be there. God brings kings up, but he also brings kings down. God tears down things like promotions for other people and gives it to you because you're the person for that job. Abram wasn't a perfect candidate. He was the unlikely one, but he still chose to trust God. And so I want us to really look at ourselves. Are we willing to trust God to get out of this place of settlement to a place to the promised land? I wrote this. It's a saying that I've been saying to myself this week, and it's this. If God called you there, he'll help you make it there. Can I say that again? If God called you there, he'll help you make it there. If God called you to a promised land, to a place where you feel like, oh, I'm not the right guy, if he's called you there, he'll make sure you make it there. But you have to trust him. You have to lean into him. Even when things look like, oh, God, I'm not ready for this. But God's like, if he's called you there, he'll make sure you'll make it there. I always say this too, like, I've got friends in the ministry, and there's one particular friend, he grinds my gear. Like, you know, you have that friend that just like, oh, can you just listen to me? Like, bro, like, seriously? And he's always like, he's always coming back to me, this particular fellow. He's like, oh, bro, can you pray for me? I'm trying to look for this and this, this, this. And I'm like, bro, if it's God's will for your life, it is God's bill. Are you with me? If God willed you to do that, he'll make sure he'll pay for it. The reason why many of us go through life and you're like, oh, God, I'm called to this. And then you're like, oh, I don't know how to do it. Because if it's not God's will, he's not going to pay for it. Are you okay? And the same thing with where the promised land. If God says that that's the place he wants you to be, he'll make sure he'll take you to that place. But we have to trust him. We have to lean into him. We have to go, yes, God, I'm the unlikely person to be used, but I'm going to trust you on the journey towards there. I'm not going to settle like Terah settled. Because Terah settled. Terah settled his family. You know who followed his family, Terah? Abram and his wife, Sarai. She settled with them. And imagine if Abram chose not to listen to the call of God of his life and just go, God, I'm not listening to you. I'm going to settle here. The Bible would be a completely different thing if we didn't have Abram. And you know what? The world won't be the same place if you don't take up your call. We've said this many times, Pastor Darren and I, even with Pastor Fina, the richest place on the planet is the graveyard. That's what we believe. The richest place in the world is the graveyard. And the reason why we believe the graveyard's the richest place, it's because it's got buried talents, buried books, buried presidents, buried prime ministers, buried pastors, buried evangelists, buried prophets, buried teachers, buried business owners, because they chose to not take up the call. Rich, when we talk about rich, we're not talking about money rich. We're talking about giving to life, giving to the world, what God called us to. There's so much in the cemetery that has been buried. God doesn't want us to bury what he's called us to do in the grave and not do it. He wants us to walk it out, journey it out. But the question we need to ask ourselves, do I trust you, Lord? And do I have faith enough to believe, even when things seem chaotic, even when times feel like, oh, I'm not the right person, that you still trust to believe that if he's called you there, he'll make sure he'll make it there? That's the question we need to ask ourselves. So unlikely people. Quick recap. Abram was an idol-worshipping person. I was looking at the story of Abram, like the stuff that's not in the Bible, okay? I was looking at doing research, and it says that Abram's father was a shop seller of idols. I don't know how much of that is true, because it's not in the Bible, but we know from like papers that they understand how the time was. So it was said that Abram was part of the shop owning with his father who sold idols to people in Haran. And so this person who is a idol seller, a moon sun worshiper, God chose to be the father of all nations. That's a quick recap. A person who was imperfect, a person who didn't know God well or at all, the person who seems like the unlikely candidate, God chose. And we need to look at ourselves. Oh my goodness, if God can use Abram in the place that he was, maybe God can use me. My heart throughout this unlikely people, or my heart for the series is to really get anybody in this room and any person that comes into this room out from the place of settling to a place where God wants them to be. We have too many churches, when I say churches, I'm talking about the body, too many churches of having so much wealth within the church that doesn't get out. Leah has so much wealth in him that it's not supposed to stay here. It's supposed to go out there. But if I use Leah for example, if we had heaps of Leahs, it's like Leahs, like, right? You all Leahs, yeah, cool. And all they did was sit in their pews and stayed there. We missed them while we were created. We weren't created just to be in church and do the holy thing. But we're here to extend the kingdom of heaven in our sphere of influence. So whether you work in the community, whether you work in the factory, whether you work at McDonald's, whether you work for a high government job, whether you're at home doing your kids, or if you're retired, whatever that looks like, you either can settle with what you have or actually believe God has more for you. And I truly believe if we tap into the area where God's called us to be, you'll see that there's more in you to give out than you've ever thought of you. For Leitu, there's more to give in you. For Chris, there's more to give in you. Sam, there's more in you to give. But we have to get this out of this place of settlement. Saying, God, I'm not ready, or I'm too busy, or, you know, like normal stuff that people say. Oh, God, I work, got my family, got all this. Yes, we all work, got family, got all this. But for some reason, God helps us to navigate all of it. And so we just got to make the choice this morning, church. Am I going to be like Terah and settle in Haran? Or am I going to be like Abram? Imperfect. Just don't know sometimes. But you're just like, here I am, Lord. I'm just going to follow you. I'm just going to trust you. I don't know what it looks like. I know you called me there. I don't know how to get there. But I'm just going to trust you on this journey. Will you be Abram or will you be like Terah, his father? That's the choice we need to make this morning. That's the choice that I had to make this week when going over the story of Abram. I was like, oh, Lord, that's mean. You're mean. Have you ever had moments like that when you're reading the Bible? Like, God, you're mean. Like, that seems mean. That's hurtful. And when I was reading this, I was like, oh, God, there's some stuff in my life, if I'm being transparent with you, there's some stuff in my life where I have settled, where God's saying, get up and move. And that's me. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing right now. But I can tell you right now, each and every one of us have somewhere that we've settled where God doesn't want us to settle. And we just got to be honest with ourselves and go, God, I'm sorry, but I want to have faith and move on and go to where you called me to go. So why don't we close our eyes for a moment? I'm speaking to those who have used the excuse of like, oh, nah, I'm not the right person. Or use the excuse of like, oh, it's the way I've been brought up. I'm always like this. I'm always going to stay like this. I'm never going to ever be great at anything because the generation before me didn't set me up. We can use any excuse, but I'm talking to those people this morning. If that's you and you're like, nah, man, I want to stop using those excuses and really lean into God and trust Him, can you stand where you are? Any person in here that is like been settling for like the less, settling just for okay, and you know God has more in you, but you've been just making excuses for yourself, I'm talking to you this morning. If that's you and you're like, I don't want to settle anymore, I want to trust God in this process, can you stand where you are? Everyone's eyes are closed. So Father, right now, I just pray for every person that is standing. They're making a decision today to not settle and not just stay with the same excuses, or whatever it may be. But they're choosing today to go, God, I want to trust you and follow you, whatever that looks like. So I pray, Lord Father, throughout this week, that, Lord Father, that your voice becomes more clearer to them. I pray that they will know your voice. I pray that, Lord Father, as they take every step this week and every day they make, Lord God, I just pray that you be present. I pray that your presence will be felt with them, Lord God, that they will know that you're with them. And I thank you for their future, that it's great. And so, Father, I just want to lift up their life to you. I want to lift up their call that you've called them to be, Lord God. I lift that up right now in the name of Jesus. And I pray, Lord Father, for just clarity this week. I pray, Lord Father, for peace this week. I pray that if they've been struggling with just internal identity problems, I pray, Lord God, that you'll reveal to them who they are in you, in Jesus' name. And so, Father, I thank you for every individual standing. I pray your blessing and favor to be upon them. And I pray for every person who wants to stand and is not standing. I pray, Lord Father, that you bless them. That, Lord Father, you reveal to them the things that you want them to reveal, to see and to hear. And I just pray their ears be open, their eyes to be open to see and hear you. And so, Father, we just honor you and glorify you. We thank you for the call over every person's life in this room, that it's called for greatness. Even our children at the back, they're called for greatness in this time. Not later, but today. And so, Father, we honor you. We thank you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen, 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 amen.